But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is Nicole. Join me on this adventure as we go from glory to glory. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Thank you for joining me. We're still continuing the series on how to hear from God. So today, by the way, do y'all like my Christmas tree? This is my office tree. I always like to have something around that I can look at in my office. It's not the best looking tree, but it's a tree. Anyway, today I'm going to give you two pieces to this How to Hear from God series. One is, hopefully time permits, because I don't want the video to go too long, but one is going to be stewarding the voice of God, and the other one is going to be how to grow in hearing the voice of God, because there is a growth where you become really good and multifaceted at hearing. So let me pray so we can jump in with this class. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your voice. I thank you for the many, many ways in which you speak to us. I thank you that during this class, you will individually speak. You will bring insight and understanding and wisdom and knowledge to the hearers of this class. I also thank you for crowning us with your Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. Bring upon us the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. And I just thank you that at the end of this session, we will have a better understanding of stewardship. And we'll also have a better understanding of how to grow in the gifts that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so let's dive in. Stewardship. What is it? Stewardship. What is it? It comes from the Greek word steward, oikonomos. It means the manager of a household. The household manager, a steward, a guardian. To whom the head of the house or proprietor has entrusted the management of his affairs, to care for receipts and expenditures, and the duty of dealing out the proper portion to every servant or even to the children not yet of age. That's interesting, isn't it? You're giving to those who are not yet of age. You're stewarding, you're managing what God has given you. This is stewardship. So then the question is, how would you properly steward the voice of God? You properly steward the voice of God by properly managing how he is speaking to you. Now, we already found out from the last class that he is speaking through our five senses, and then his voice is also multifaceted, coming through different forums, dreams and vision, through the Bible, through the environmental changes, through nature, through many other ways. So how would stewardship look like of that? So let's say you're a dreamer and you have dreams. To properly steward your dreams would mean this. When you get them, as soon as you wake up in the morning, or even in the middle of the night, if you keep a recorder at the side of your bed and you just voice record what the dream was, or if you had got a word, one word, what was the word? You record what time you woke up, what the dream was, if there was any scripture you got in the dream or as soon as you woke up, any impressions of a scripture that came to you. You would record how you felt, your emotional state. You're going to record the colors, any smells, anything that's associated with that dream, you're going to write it down. Why is this important? Because if you don't, you're going to forget. We all do. I mean, have you ever tried going to a supermarket without a list? Even if you only have four items, the minute you're in there, you're like, I have three, what's the fourth one? I don't remember. And so then you get all the way back home and that's when you remember. And it's like one of the main ingredients, so you have to go back to the store. Well, the same thing is gonna happen when God says something to you. If you don't write it down, you're going to forget what he said. And so then you'll have no reference, no point of reference. You have no dates. When did he say it and what did he say? So stewarding it is really just recording. And as things happen or you see the fruition of that dream, what will end up happening is you can go back into your journal and check to see, oh, I had this dream on this date and this is what God says and here's how it manifested. So you have a full record of everything from start to finish. When you start doing this, you begin to pick up on a pattern in which God speaks to you personally. It's your individual language with God, so to speak. So that is important. If it's the voice of God, if he's speaking to your spirit, you need to write that down as well. And then you need to write down, well, what happened when I did what he told me to do? What were the results? What's the fruit of it? So this is so important because then God can trust that you have a record of what he told you to do. So you have something that you can go back on and you're not just not remembering. I want to share a story with you of kind of how God was working with me in moving me from one way of speaking or hearing his voice to another. In case this happens to you, you'll understand what's going on and probably handle it a little better than I did, as I'm going to share with you. So when I just got saved, his way of speaking with me was really two ways, two main ways. Through the word, directly as I read the Bible, the scriptures would come to me and I would record and I would know what to do from that. I would step out and do whatever it is he was saying to do. Then he would speak directly into my spirit. So I felt it in here. Different people feel their spirit man in other areas, but I can tell you with 100% certainty, it was not audibly and it wasn't in my mind. It was in here, somewhere inside of me. I heard the voice of God and he would just talk to me straight. So when you have that, it's very easy to know what to do. There's no misinterpretation of the information. It's just, he said this, I did it. Like the story I gave you about Bud, it was straight, this is it, I do it. There is no, does he mean this or does he mean that? So I just continue to walk in obedience. What you're gonna find is, as you begin to do what the Lord tells you to do, you're gonna start growing. So at exactly on my 1 year spiritual birthday, 1 year to the date when I got saved, he stopped speaking into my spirit and he switched into dreams. And I didn't like that very much because if you get dreams, you know what I'm talking about. It's like all these symbols and none of it makes sense. And what does this mean? And what does that mean? And so at first, because I really wasn't writing down anything, nobody told me to record or write down what the Lord is telling you. Nobody did. So I wasn't doing that at all. And so when the dreams would come, I wasn't writing them. And I would get them like every other night, dream, 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 dream. And I was just like, oh, it's so complicated. And I would just ignore it and move on because I was waiting for him to talk to me in my spirit like he always does. Except guess what? He didn't. He just didn't anymore. And so as, you know, as time started to go on, like within a couple of weeks, I'm like, what's going on? Why isn't God talking to me again in my spirit? So then I started thinking, I must have done something wrong. What did I do? Okay, God's mad at me. God is not talking to me anymore. I thought I did something wrong, right? So I would pray and I would say, well, why aren't you talking to me like this anymore? But one of the sure signs, how I knew that I really didn't do anything wrong, prayers were still getting answered. Prayers were still getting answers. Things were flowing as normal. It was just not speaking into my spirit anymore. Dreams, all these dreams. And I didn't like it. I really didn't like it because I was like, I don't know what to do with these symbols. Where do I go for this? You know, who am I gonna ask about this? You know, I don't understand. And so I kind of just pushed it off. I didn't want anything to do with the dreams. I didn't. And so I just ignored and ignored it. Well, God doesn't care if you want to learn that or not. If he says, this is what we're doing this season, this is how I'm talking to you, you gotta get on board with it. You know, it's great. I speak English. I live in London, England. We understand each other, fine. And then he picks me up and he drops me over in Germany and he goes, here, now speak German. And then I'm like, no, take me back to England. I don't wanna do this, I don't like this. No, I have to learn it because now we're at another level. So I took my time, I bought books, I started reading about dream language, how to interpret dreams, learning what smells mean, what do colors mean, what does this mean, what does that mean. And on another class, I'll get more into dreams. This is not about dreams per se. This is just about a change in the way in which he speaks, because he will do that. How else are you gonna grow if he doesn't switch the language or the way in which he communicates? So once I learned, and believe me, it takes a while, and you never really ever get to the end of dream languages. This is what I've learned. It's like there's another symbol and another thing. But once I learned that, it then opened the door for many other ways in which he began to speak to me, because now I can get visions. Now I can walk out and look at things and pick up messages just from understanding dream language, which before that meant nothing to me. I thought it was nonsense, coincidence, doesn't matter. Okay, so I'm telling you this to let you know that he will move you into a different type of language and way in which he speaks when you are growing. Think of it like this, it's a house. And you have different ways in which you access a house. There is your front door, depending on the house. You have a garage door. You have a side door to get into the garage. Further around the house, you have a door that goes into the kitchen. You might have a side pool screen door on this side and another screen door on that side. And then there is a door to get into the back door. You know, there are several doors to get into a house, usually. The voice of God is like that. He's not just gonna give you one way to hear him. He's going to grow you in each of these ways so that you can access him and he can speak to you through many different ways. So the main way, I said we started with the Bible. So the Bible is your front door. But then he's gonna move you into something else. So maybe your next thing, having him speak in your spirit, that's your garage door. Then you come around the side and now we're going into dreams. That's your kitchen door. And now we're in the back, in the pool area, and visions comes into play. So he wants to make sure that you can access that house through many different ways, not just one door. You know, a friend of mine, her main way of speaking or hearing from God was through the Bible. I remember years ago, I told her, I said, listen, you have to start speaking in tongues more, really do that. So, you know, she's not from a church like that. So she was like, that's not really my thing. You know that. I said, I know, But I'm telling you, you need to grow in that some more. Just do it, do it. You know, start doing it more, because wisdom will come to you through that, and you'll start to hear God in many different ways through speaking in tongues. So she started on that. Sure enough, within a few, several months, I think, she had to go and have eye surgery so she couldn't read her Bible anymore. So her vision, she didn't have her vision anymore. And even after the surgery, it took quite a while before her vision came back, because it was blurry. So if she didn't have another way to hear from God, she's now incapacitated for months, sitting there like, I feel like I can't hear anything because I'm not reading. Okay, so do not fight when God begins to move his voice into another place. You embrace it, you look at it. As long as you if you know for sure there's nothing between you and the Lord where it's like, God's upset at me, I'm not hearing because of this. No, he's just training you in another way to hear from him, and you need to embrace that. So I wanna share this scripture with you. This was like one of those scriptures. The first time I read it, I was like, I don't get it. You know, it didn't sound Christian to me. Even though it was in the Bible, I was just like, I don't understand. So I'm gonna read it for you now. It's Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 through 30. So, yeah, well, call it 14 through 29, I guess. I'm going to read this one. It is the parable of the talents. And after I read it, I'm then going to show you how it applies exactly to what I'm saying to you right now. So, it says, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who calls his servants and entrusts to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each one according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received 5 talents went at once and traded them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went, dug in a ground, and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing his 5 talents, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents here. I have made 5 more talents.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had 2 talents came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents here. I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servants. You have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also who had received 1 talent came forward and said, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will be given, and he will have abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away.'" Isn't that interesting? 29 again. "For to everyone who has will be given, more will be given, and he will have abundance. So if you have more, he's going to give you more on top of that, to abundance. But then to the one who doesn't have anything, he takes it away. First time I read that, I was like, that's a little harsh. It's harsh. And it's like, wow, I thought you'd want to give to the one less. I don't understand. I didn't get it. So I'm going to use this as how you grow in hearing the voice of God. Because you're stewarding. Remember, it says the master left and he gave them things to watch over. Steward over this. Okay, so God starts speaking to you through the Bible. You know that you heard from the Lord. What are you going to do with it? You have something in your hand. It's valuable. You have to go and produce with that. Okay? God says to you, I'm going to show you this. I'm revealing this to you. You say, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? I need you to pray over it. Okay? So you pray, and then you see the fruit of that in someone else's life. You produced on that, hearing his voice. Okay? That's what that is. You're taking what he's saying to you, and you are producing something good from it. As opposed to, he told you what to do, you heard, and you did nothing. And you sit there like this, waiting to hear something else. And he comes again, and he says, okay, I'm here. And he gives you another scripture to read, and you read another scripture, and you're packing in all this knowledge, and I know this, and I know that, and I know this, and I know that. And what did you do with that? Nothing. You sit there getting fat on the word, and you haven't done anything. There are nothing actionable from it. There's no fruit coming off of it. Nothing is being produced from it. Okay? So he's talking to you through his word, and you're not doing anything. You're just taking it all in. While there comes another person, and he says in his word, listen, I'm going to show you something. You see this over here? And you say, wow, God, this is a great cause. I need to support this. And he says, yes, go and financially support them. You financially support them. He said, okay, and now I'm going to ask you to do this. And you go and you do that. Okay? And you keep growing and moving as God is showing you and speaking to you through his word. Now, that person that is growing in the word of God through obeying the voice of God in his word is now going to be given another gift on top of that. Because God says, well, you've managed my word well. Now, here comes another gift. I'm now going to start talking to you through your spirit. You start to hear through your spirit. Okay, what do you want me to do, God? Do this. Okay, off you go. And you do it. He can trust you. He can trust you because you're actually doing what he's telling you to do. Okay, now you're learning that way. Now you're listening to me through this, this, and this. Okay, I'm going to add another one on to you. Now I'm going to give you a fifth one. Now I'm going to let you hear me a sixth way. Now I'm going to add a seventh way to it. Why? Because you're stewarding that so well and you're producing fruit with what he's saying. You're not just taking it for yourself and not doing anything with it. That's what that is. That's stewarding God's voice and growing in God's voice as you steward it. You have to action it. He loves to talk to us, but there has to be some fruit. God is not just going to sit around and gossip with you about other people. There is a reason why he's showing you certain things. Whether it's in your world, it's in your church, it's in the economy, you have to do something with that, okay? And the first call is generally prayer. Pray about it. You'll see changes happening as a result of your prayer because you've taken that and you did something with it. Or he'll say, support it. Or he'll say, go over there and tell this person that. Or I need you to do this with it, you know? And sometimes people say, I'm not sure if it's the voice of God, and I'm going to cover another class in just that specifically. You know, we're to talk how to discern. Is it me, the enemy, or God? I'll go into that as well. But You have to do something when he speaks. That's how you manage the talents. Now, growing. There's absolutely no way for you to grow in the voice of God apart from intimacy with the Lord. Intimacy. Coming together, spending time with him in prayer, reading the word, just sitting with God. That's how you grow. If you try to go any other way, it's not gonna work. It won't be God, it'll be another voice. So this leads me to another, you know, everything that I'm teaching you here, like I'm teaching it to you, I can't actually give it to you. All of these are things that you have to do it yourself. You have to take what I'm giving you and action it. You have to go and you have to do the exercises. You're the one who has to spend time with the Lord, and you're the one who has to grow in your relationship with the Lord. I can't actually give that to you. I can't. And no matter how much I pray for you, it doesn't happen until you do it. There's a saying, it's like this, it says, prayer is caught, it's not taught. There's some books you read them and it's like, boy, that was so well written. But did it inspire you to pray? No, because it's like, it's just words on a page. Until you actually open your mouth and do it and see the power of it, then you start to catch on to it because you're actually engaging that and doing it, right? So this next one, again, is one more of those parables. The first time I read it, I thought, I don't understand. It sounds so harsh, but let's hear it. So this is the parable of the 10 virgins. It says, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourself." But while they were on their way to buy oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. I'm gonna stop there. So, they have oil. They're both waiting for the Lord. He shows up. Half of them have oil and the other half doesn't. And they say, "Can you give us some of your oil?" And they're like, "No, we can't. You have to go get your own." Again, to me, the first time I read that, I was like, huh. Still trying to figure out why you can't just give them some of your oil. You know, this is what I'm thinking. But again, this parable is talking about that intimate relationship with the Lord. I can't give you mine. I can't give you my relationship with the Lord. You ever look at one couple who seem to have an amazing marriage and you know, you're like, wow, I wish I had a marriage like that. Well, those people had to work at that. He had to invest and she had to invest. That's why their marriage looks like that. You can't just do what you want to do, half of the party doing their thing and the other one doing their own. You're not spending time together and then expect to have a marriage like that. It doesn't work, right? Each person has to invest in it to get out of it what they want, the good result. Okay, so to put this in another way or analogy, imagine you're working at a job, right? We all have the same 24 hours in a day. Do you understand? We do not have any less time than Moses had or Abraham or Joshua or any of those people. It's the same time. But what happens is, our world right now compared to theirs is so crammed with voices, with social media, with TV, with internet, with this constant messages everywhere. And so we have to get to the point where we go, okay, shut it down. I can't, there is just like too many voices, too much noise. We have to stop that. And so make the time. You have to cut out some time and say, okay, this is my time. This is my God time. This is my God time. Nothing is gonna take this away. I don't care what it is. It has to wait. It's gonna have to wait till some other time. Push it somewhere else. Shut off the TV, cut back on social media, whatever you have to do. But that's what it requires you to invest. Okay, so imagine you and your co-workers at work, and the boss says, okay, tomorrow morning I'm going to do something really special with you guys. Okay, so make sure you show up on time. Don't miss the time. Make sure you show up on time, and we're gonna go ahead and go to this place, and I have something really special to show you. Okay, so now imagine that you needed gas in your car. Okay, we're gonna go with the whole oil thing. You need gas. It's you and your coworker. So you get up and you look at your car, and you're like, I got a quarter tank, might get stuck in traffic. You know what, on my way home from work this evening, I'm gonna stop and get gas so that I have a full tank for tomorrow, because I have to be prepared for this meeting. I have to make sure that I'm there, and in case I get, you know, held up, or I'll be there. Okay, so you stop and you made sure you get gas, because you understand that tomorrow is an important day and you don't want to wait till the last minute to do that. You want to do it right now, take care of it. Okay, but your coworker is busy on the phone, talking, picking up kids from school, gotta go get dinner, I have to do this, I have to do that, blah, blah, blah. They have a quarter tank of gas too, right? But they have all these other things that they have to get done. And so they're like, well, I'll do it after, I'm gonna do it after this phone call. But then that phone call went to another phone call. Okay, well, I'll do it after I pick up the kids. But then they forget. And next thing you know, they're home. And it's like, I'm home already. Well, I don't wanna go back out. My show is about to come on TV right now. So I'm just gonna get that oil, that gas in the morning on the way to work. So now, they go and they're watching all their TV shows and they're doing all of this, but you're home, you already have your gas, okay? So you go to sleep or do whatever you wanna do, because you already have your gas and you're ready to go to work tomorrow. You get in your car, you have a full tank of gas, and you're heading out. Now your coworker is now late, running late, because she woke up late, so she's, oh my gosh, hurry up. Drop off the kids at school. I'm gonna do this. Next thing you know, she's on the highway. She forgot to stop and get that gas. Now we get real almost on E. She forgot to get the gas because she was so busy the next morning. Now there's an accident and you're both stuck in traffic, you and her. So you're still in the same boat. You're both in the traffic. Only difference is one of you is on E, and you stay in the traffic in the line until your E gets to the point where your car shut off. Now, you're driving by very slowly your coworker, and she says to you, hey, I need gas. Give me some of your gas. What are you gonna say? I can't help you. I'm in this line. I gotta go to work. We have that big thing today. I can't stop. I have to go. Tell you what, call the tow truck company to come and help you. I gotta go. And you go. Okay. Now think of it that way. You see, you cannot help someone with an intimacy relationship with the Lord. They have to have their own relationship. It doesn't matter how much you pray for your kids to come to know the Lord. or you teach them about Christ, they have to learn to develop that. That fire has to spark inside of them where they begin to hunger for God as much as you do, because you can't impart that. All right, so I'm telling you this so that you understand that how you grow is by spending time. And it's something you have to make up your mind. It is a priority. We all have the same hours in the day. So you just have to make that priority with God to spend time with Him. All right? So that's it. Stewarding and growing in your gift. And think of it as that house. As He begins to change and His voice begins to move, continue to steward it. Write it down. Action it. Be obedient to what He's telling you. And you'll start to see, you're gonna grow leaps and bounds, okay? Well, let me pray to end us off here and just send you off. God, I just thank you for your wonderful, wonderful way in which you speak to us and you teach us through your word. And even if we don't understand what you're saying the first go around, you bring it back and you show it to us in fresh ways, in new ways, in ways that make us clearly understand. I pray even right now, the hunger would be stirred in each of us individually to spend that time with you, to grow, to get our own oil, to gas up, to not run on fumes. Not in these times. No, we can't run on fumes, God. We need a full tank of the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with you, God, to a level that is above, so that we can continue to be salt and light in this earth, God. I thank you. Show us individually how to carve out that time, where to make the time to be with you, to be in your presence, to just sit, God, to be still and know that you are God. I thank you for growing us. I thank you for helping us with our stewardship and showing us how to do that individually in whatever way you're speaking to each of us right now. We thank you for it, God. Thank you for your voice. Thank you for your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I pray that blessed you. And like I said, this is a series. We have many more to come. I think I have about two or three more classes in the same series to give to you. Anyway, thank you so much for joining me today. Be blessed. Bye-bye.